Y'all excuse me, I didn't get my cheat sheet ready. Hallelujah. All right. So today we're going to endeavor to conclude our series that we've been teaching on discern. The name of the series is Discern, Hearing God Clearly Through All the Noise. Today's lesson is titled Discerning Christ's Body in This Cancel Culture. Discerning Christ's Body in This Cancel Culture. Our principal scripture for today is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 26. Our scripture for the series is Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. So we're going to read the scripture for the series first. And it says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. And so we told you that the sign of Jonah is very simply, the only sign you're going to get is crazy preachers who are willing to risk it all to tell you the truth. That's the only sign you get. That's the only sign you get. Lord, I need a sign. When you pray for a sign, you're asking God to send you a crazy preacher who ain't scared to tell you the truth. Because that's the only sign Jesus said you're going to get. Period. Okay? But he says, Jesus says, and we've said this to you before, Jesus is essentially saying in these verses, how can you determine something that you have no control over? None of us can control the weather, because if I could control the weather, it'd be like, sunshine, no rain. It'd be sunshine all every day. It would be about 72 degrees. That's perfect weather to me. You know what I'm saying? We don't control it. We have absolutely no control over it. And Jesus says to these guys, he said, what I find interesting is you can predict something, discern something, you can define something, you can intuit something that you have absolutely no control over. My wife, last night we were getting ready to come over here and set this room up. And my wife said to me, as I was going to walk out the door, she said, you sure you don't want a hat? I don't want a hat. It was serious. It's going to rain for about another hour and a half. Know what she talking about? Siri don't know everything. Since when did Siri get control over the rain? And it rained longer than an hour and a half. Almost all night. So let's look at today's scripture. We're talking about discerning Christ's body in this cancel culture. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, but even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Jumping down to verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're going to talk about discerning the body, discerning Christ's body. Just in case you don't know what exactly cancel culture is, you are living it. It is playing out right in front of you. Cancel culture basically says, Kevin, that if you express an opinion that I don't agree with, then I should be able to not only cancel your opinion, but I should be able to cancel you. You should lose your job. You should lose your income. You should lose everything that defines you as you. Because you expressed an opinion that I don't agree with. And so what it's doing is it's making us all feel like that if we don't go along with the mob is going to cancel us. I read something the other day. I had to chuckle when I read it. I'll be honest. I had to chuckle because the headline said, right-wing Trump supporter shoots and kills person at Black Lives Matter rally. Right-wing Trump supporter shoots and kills somebody at Black Lives Matter rally. I'm like, I thought Trump was a racist. What they doing at the Black Lives Matter rally? I just don't, that don't make sense to me. Those just don't make sense to me. But see, in our cancel culture, anything, listen, if I were to say that I believe in marriage, that marriage is defined by the scripture as one man and one woman, the cancel culture would say he is a homophobe. He's a homophobe and nobody should listen to him. And just for listening to him, you too are a racist and a homophobe. Well, now you know everything makes you racist. No. Everything makes you racist. If you don't agree, you're a racist. This is the culture that we're in, where you can't express. The thing that made this country great was dissenting opinions. Somebody, listen to me, somebody had to express a dissenting opinion in order for slavery to end. If somebody didn't disagree, because the people who were participating in that, they thought they were doing the right thing. If somebody doesn't disagree, slavery never ends. I found out something the other day that I didn't know. Did you know that they had slaves in New York? No. I'm talking about during the slavery period. Did y'all know that there were slaves in New York? Yeah, I was reading, you know, my wife and I, we, you know, I'm really intrigued by history. So when my wife finds out a historical fact, she'll say, you need to know this. She'll bring it to me. And it really rocked my world that New York, this bastion of progressivism, was a slaveholding state. Just throwing that in. That ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about. I just, you know, just popped in my head. This is what you get for listening to an old person. Stuff just pops in our head. Yeah, that's what we call them. But here's the thing. What the church has not understood is that there is also a move to cancel you, to cancel the believer, to cancel the church of the living God. And let me say something to you. The Bible says this. The Bible says, while men slept, the enemies crept in unaware. In other words, while you thought everything was good, an enemy was creeping in. And I'm telling you that in this hour, in the time we live in, if you don't learn how to discern who really is a part of the body of Christ, you're going to be in trouble. Because everybody's saying they're part of the body of Christ. I told y'all, see, I've learned when people tell me they saved, you know, my first question is, how do you know? No. See, you can't be scared to ask people. How do you know? See, for example, if I were to say to Morgan, who's your mama? She would point to her. How do you know? She's been there my whole life. She's the only mama I've ever known. See, She can explain how she knows this is her mother. If I were to say to Robin, who's your husband? She would say, this guy sitting next to me. How do you know? Because nobody gets on my nerves like him. Robin's back there. I haven't gotten an amen from Robin all year on that point. Yes, amen. Here's my point. That I think as I go through life, you know, Don and I spend quite a bit of time together socially. We have one day a week where we try to get together and just hang out and have lunch. And as I go through life, I talk to people. You know, I'm telling y'all got to get better at just talking to people. Just talk to people. Just start conversations. And don't be scared to ask questions. I can take any conversation and turn it into a conversation about Jesus. I really can. And you'd be surprised once I get people turned towards the conversation about Jesus and they start declaring how much they love Jesus. And I just go, so are you a Christian? Are you saved? Yes. Well, tell me how you know. And you'd be surprised how many people get stuck on that question. How do you know? Because, see, it's not enough for you to think you're saved. How do you know that you're saved? What did you do that the other person hasn't done that set you apart and put you in relationship with God? All right, you hear me? Here's the interesting thing. I'm going to show you how I know that we need to clarify this whole thing about who really is a part of the body of Christ. A few years ago, I was watching during the last president's administration, I was watching an interview where they were interviewing President Obama. And they asked him about how he became a Christian. Here's what he said. This is as close to a quote as I can get, but this is what he said essentially. He said, I was doing community activism work in Chicago. He said, and people kept asking me, what church do you belong to? And I kept saying, I'm just trying to help the community. And so finally somebody stopped me and said to me, you would get a lot more done if you were a member of a church. He said, so I joined the church and became a Christian. And I told my wife, I said, that's not how you become a Christian according to the Bible. Joining the church makes you a Christian like standing in a garage makes you a Volkswagen. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, listen, if me just positioning myself where other people who believe this makes me one of them, then I'm going to go stand next to a Rolls Royce. I'm declare myself I'm a Rolls Royce. What I'm trying to get you to see is that if we're not clear and we're not able to fully understand, then we may be expecting something that we should not expect. We may be engaging people that don't mean us good. Here's one. This is the big one for me right now. We may be voting for people who want to shut the church down. All because it's our political party. All because this is the way I've always voted. And we don't take time to look at what they're doing and what they really stand for. And how that is going to affect me as a believer. My first responsibility is to protect my right to preach this gospel. See, when I decided that I was going to preach this gospel, they don't do this anymore. You know, young preachers don't have to do this. But Now he gonna have to do it because I'm gonna make him do it. But you know, these young preachers, they can just go to school. They go to school, and they declare themselves to be a preacher, and then that's it. But see, when I told my pastor that I wanted to be a preacher, he made me take an oath that said I would die for this gospel. He wanted me to understand this is no lightweight thing. That you're committing your life for the sake of the gospel. That if everybody else in America, if they start lining up preachers and shooting them in the street, I have to volunteer for that. See, that's why I tell you, this ain't for everybody. See, everybody ain't really called to this. Because Jesus said this. He said, go and tarry into Jerusalem. Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And he says that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. The word witnesses in that text literally means martyr. So once you receive the Holy Spirit, you know what you really received? You received the power to die. But die free. I like that. I'm trying to help you see. The church has sought to stop playing church. You got to stop playing church. Serious, man. It's okay now to get in people's face and, you know, If they need it this way, just say it, Taylor. Just like this. Either you is or you ain't. Just, you know, you just got to tell people. Either you is or you ain't. You know? Because we have way too many people who are saying they're a part of the body of Christ, and I don't see the things that the Bible says I'm supposed to see that identifies you as part. See, there are things that I should see in your life that identifies you as part of the body of Christ. Point number one. His body, talking about the body of Christ, his body knows him intimately. Knows him intimately. The Bible says, in the book of Genesis, it says, and so-and-so knew so-and-so, and she bore a child. And so-and-so, Abraham knew so-and-so, and she bore a child. And so the Bible, the word to know in a Bible is a very intimate word. It means to know intimately, to be engaged with, to have an exchange with. Are you hearing me? And so his body must know him intimately. There are far too many people that are settling for, I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him all over me. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I want you to know he's all right. But guess what? When you get done with all that hollering and screaming, when you get done talking about how you feel him in your hands, how you feel him in your feet, what are you going to do on the day you can't feel him? Because I've lived long enough to know there are days I can't feel him. There are days when I literally pray and have said to God, why aren't you listening to me? I don't understand what's going on right now. Wow, it feels like the phone is off the hook, dog. What you doing? This is how I talk to him. I'm from the hood. I'm a recovering thug. John 10:14 says this. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus says, here's the deal. He says, I know who's mine. And here's how I know they're mine, because they know who I am. I would do anything, Pastor, if I could just learn the voice of God, get saved. No. I've accepted Jesus. I didn't say nothing about accepting Jesus. I said get saved. Get a relationship with him. Because everybody who has a relationship with him, according to Jesus, Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. And they will not follow another. Are you hearing me? So if there's a problem with knowing the voice, whose problem is it? It's not the problem with the one talking, because I keep telling y'all, he's always talking. We just ain't always listening. Are you hearing me? So we gotta get to know him intimately. You know how you get to know somebody intimately? You have to spend time with them. Long before, you know, we got this thing now. We don't have to know anybody intimately now, because we got this thing called caller ID. And so when people call you, you can look at the phone and go, I don't feel like talking to them. But see, it's way back when. It's way before your time. It's back when. They used to have phones where the phone would ring. And in order to find out who was on it, you had to actually pick it up. You know, you had to actually pick it up to find out who was calling. You know, wasn't no answer machine. Yeah, there was no answer machine. This is back when if you wanted to make a call and you weren't home, you had to walk to the corner and put a quarter in a phone. I'm just letting them know things ain't always been the way they got it. But when people would call you, you knew the people that you had spent a lot of time talking to, because they never had to say who it was. You would just pick up the phone and say, hello, and they say, hey, girl. Hey, man, what's going on? And as soon as they say that greeting, you automatically know, hey, and you pick up like y'all just talked. And sometimes you haven't talked to this person for a month, but you pick up like y'all just, why? You know them. See, the other thing we've done in our culture is we like to say, well, I know him, just because we know somebody's name. Knowing somebody's name is not knowing them. Are you hearing me? And so because we have these loose definitions of relationship, most people in the church don't even realize they don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. My mother used to say it this way. She used to say, if you're going to go to hell, go first class. Don't go sitting on a pew. She'll tell you, just go on out the street and do what you're going to do. Don't be sitting on no pew faking saved. No. Because here's the thing. We got a whole lot of folks playing church. A whole lot of church playing games with God. As if God doesn't know that they're playing games. We got a whole lot of folks think it's okay that they use God as their side piece. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you how folks think. I told y'all, this is me trying to hide my sin from God. And we don't realize God knows our every motivation. He knows who really is a part of him, who really wants his will to be done, who really wants to see his will fulfilled in the earth. God already knows. He knows who's going to really put their life on the line when the time comes. He already knows who's going to run and try to save themselves. He already knows, since y'all don't want to listen to me, this whole pandemic is about them preparing you to have a mark so that you can buy food and have water in your house. That's what this whole thing is about. Everybody says I'm crazy, but I'm telling you what God showed me, and I'm telling you what I'm hearing these people say. Right now in Canada, they are working on a law that says they will pay off the debt of every citizen. But in exchange, you can't own anything. And you have to participate in the vaccine program. And if you don't participate in the vaccine program, they will give you time to comply. But if you take too long to comply, they have it in the law where they can put you in concentration camps. So don't tell me that there's not a diabolical. I told y'all when the Lord spoke to me about this in February, I said, God said there's a diabolical plan about to be released. Number two. His body does what he says. The other way you can know that people are really truly a part of the body is they do what God says do. They do what God says do. His body are the people who really want to fulfill his will. They understand that God doesn't make suggestions. Y'all do realize God has never suggested anything. I do realize that, right? Like, God doesn't go. God doesn't. Let me tell you my experience. God has never said to me, Taylor, you know, if you were smart, you would do this. But being the idiot you are, I know you're gonna do this. I just want you to know, I've already developed a plan to get you out of that, because I've even prepared for your dumb days. No, he usually tells me, do this. Now, I know you're going to be disobedient, because anytime I don't do what he says, it's called disobedience. It's called rebellion. He said, do this. I know you're going to be disobedient, but I've already made provision for your disobedience. God talks to me in very direct terms and in very commanding terms. Why? Because he is not just my Savior. He is my Lord, and he knows that he has the authority to command me. John 14:15. If you love me, this is Jesus talking, if you love me, you will keep my suggestions. If you love me, you'll keep my proposals. He doesn't propose anything. They're commandments. The moment he says it, it's a commandment. Oh, Jesus, help us. 1 John 5:2-3. Watch this. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So John says, hey, here's how we really know that we have the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And here's the thing. His commandments don't make us go, all right, I got it. His commandments don't make us go, I know if I don't do it, you're going to whoop my butt, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. How willfully. This is your will. This is what you want. This is what you want me to do. I'll accept that. When I was sick and the doctors thought I was going to die, you know what my prayer was? God, if I need to die for you to get glory out of my life, I'll die. I literally prayed that prayer. I said, if I need to die for you to get glory out of my life, I'll die. I said, just let me know that my babies and my wife are going to be okay. That you have a plan to take care of them. I said, I'll gladly die. See, the other problem we have in the church is that the folks that are saying they're Christians love this life too much. You love this life. You love being an American. You love your rights. when you become a citizen of the kingdom, you realize I've got no rights. I have the right to remain silent. I have the right to do what he says. Are you hearing me? Where am I at, Cordray? Is this point number three? His body puts him first in all things. You can't be a member of the body of Christ and you're putting Christ somewhere else on your list. My wife and I, we were joking the other day, and I said to her, I said, girl, I really love you. She said, yeah, I know, I'm 1A. I said, you 1A? She said, yeah, because Jesus is number one, and I know he's the only person you'll actually dump me for. See, everybody should be clear about your relationship with Christ. That Christ is first and foremost. That, and I'm talking about this because what I'm watching Christians do, that I don't vote what I want to vote. I vote what he tells me to vote. Which means, help me, Holy Ghost, which means I got to lay down some of my stuff. What if God tells you to vote for something that the rest of the black community is saying, shouldn't vote like that. That's not for us. But God says, no, I want you to vote for this because this is where I am. But that day, you're going to have to stop being black long enough to obey God. See, nobody wants to talk about this kind of stuff because we actually think this is the problem with growing up in a country where, you know, this country, believe it or not, and there's no greater patriot than me. I love America. But this country, one of the weaknesses of this country is that this country was formed in rebellion. It was formed in rebellion. So here's what that means. Everybody who's an American, raise your hand. It means you're rebellious. To be an American means you are rebellious, and this is what the American church is struggling with right now. They're struggling with laying down their rights and laying down their stuff so that God can be God. I got to stop being American so that I can be a citizen of the kingdom. Because here's what I know. The kingdom can save America. America can do very little for the kingdom of God. If we were half as good as we think we are, if we were half as good as we think we are. Now, I'm going to show y'all something, see, because y'all got to understand this. Right now, we have Americans who are saying that, is it okay if I use you as an example, sweetheart? This is my baby, y'all. I love her. So this, but they're saying that if you get pregnant, you can abort the baby up to the day of delivery. These are Americans saying this. These are Americans. Now listen, you want to know something? See, this is the part they don't talk about. This is why I told y'all, you got to be a researcher. You got to be a great student. You got to be willing to search out the truth. They will actually tell you that you actually have up until the child is 2 years old to abort the child. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but will you tell them we heard a political candidate say this? A candidate for president actually said this. That they believed that the mother should have the right to. This is now a toddler. This is somebody learning to talk. Yeah, this is somebody who we know they've got a personality. Are you hearing me? These are Americans. So don't tell me how good America is because we have Americans that are crazy. And we can't deny them. They're Americans. And they're so crazy that they want to shut you up because you don't agree with their craziness. They're coming and sitting in the church next to you, singing the same songs you sing. And telling you they're your friend, they're your brother and sister in the Lord. And they go, we were watching, my wife was watching, she watches this Way of the Master thing. What's the guy's name? Ray Comfort. She watches this thing. And Ray Comfort, he's basically demonstrating how to witness to people on the street. And the guy who's working with Ray is talking to this guy. The guy admits he is a believer. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. The guy said, oh, wonderful. So the guy starts digging deeper. And he said, well, you got to understand, I respect a woman's right to choose. He said, as a Christian, you think it's okay to abort a baby? He goes, yeah, because that's not my place to say. He said, well, let me ask you this. He said, if I owned a building, I own an apartment building. He said, it's my building, right? He said, yeah. He said, the whole building is mine. Yeah. He said, so if I decide that I'm going to kill all the people in the building, can I kill all the people in the building? He said, oh, no, man, that's murder. You can't do that. He said, why not? It's my building. He said, it's my building. And the guy said, what are you saying? He said, when a woman says it's her body, she's right. It's her body. She said, but the body inside is another body. Are you hearing me? Look at this. Colossians 1, 17 and 18. He is before, watch this. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Verse 18. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have what? First place in some things. First place in the things we want him to be first place in. First place when we want to get off the throne long enough to let him sit on the throne. No, he has first place in everything. This is why I keep trying to tell you that Jesus has to become the filter for your every decision. That it doesn't matter how I feel about it. It matters how he feels about it, and how he feels about it becomes how I feel about it. So you can say, Everett Spencer is a homophobe. My response is, I feel about homosexuality the way Jesus feels about it. You can say, Everett Spencer is pro-life. I simply say, I feel about this the way Jesus feels about it. Are you hearing me? That he's first in everything. And either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He does not share the throne. Now, that, for some of y'all, that's troublesome because that means you have to get off the throne. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over what? All things to the church. He's head over all things, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's the head of all things. He's my decision maker. Now, here's what I got to tell you. I tried to tell y'all the other week. The scripture says the world hates you because they hated me. It was Jesus. Jesus said, the world's going to hate you because they hate me. So why is the church trying so hard to be liked by the world? Why are we trying so hard when Jesus already told us they're going to hate you? Now, you have to understand, the moment they like you, it means that you have broken with him. Because the Bible says friendship with the world makes you the enemy of God. Last point. His body knows the importance of connections. His body knows the importance of connections. One of the things that, and I have to chastise some people because I tell them, you know, there are no lone rangers in Christians. There are no lone rangers. We do this together. We're the body of Christ. Morgan has something to add to me. God uses Morgan just like he uses me. And so Morgan can say things that I haven't even thought about, and God is using Morgan to help me see something from another perspective. We need one another. The body of Christ is designed to work in concert with one another. Right now, you probably can't tell, but my right knee is killing me. my right knee hurts so bad that my foot has started hurting. My calf has started hurting because my calf and my foot are feeling sympathy for my knee. No. This is the way your body works. You ever stump your toe and get a headache? How does stumping your toe get a headache? Because your body is rushing to the aid of the injured area. It's the way a body works. Are you hearing me? We are the body of Christ. We can't function without one another. So this whole, when you find somebody and they tell, well, you know, I'm more spiritual than I am religious, and I just don't see the need to go to church. I just stay at home and worship by myself. You're saying you're not a part of the body. You're saying you're not a part of the body. And if you're not a part of the body, we can't. When Jesus comes, okay, let me help you. When Jesus comes, you know, we're waiting for that day when Jesus cracks the side. Do you know what he's calling out of the earth? Huh? His body. Everything that's not a part of his body is going to stay right here. I'm saved, but I just don't like church folks. Church folks don't like you either. It ain't like you such a pleasure to deal with. Trust me. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. But just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So now if you go read what Paul writes about the body, he said, the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. The hand can't say, because I'm not a foot, I don't need that foot. You know, if you look at your hand, now this one, we know we need because we use this one a lot. We use this one for a lot of stuff. You got to use that one in conjunction with that one to get stuff. You know, this one here, you know, we shouldn't be using this one as much as we do. I'll just leave it like that. This one here, you know, other than wearing a ring, what does this one do? It's a support, okay? And this one here, I mean, what's the point of having this little bitty thing on the end of my hand? Guess what? God didn't intend for you to look at them individually. Together, they work. If you don't believe me, lose one of them. Ephesians, last scripture. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Here's what that scripture is saying. That's where Paul talks about all the functions of the body. And here's what he's saying. Every function is important for the body to grow into the image of Christ. So listen, I'm going to help y'all. There should be a point in your Christian development where you stop coming to church for what you get out of it. For me, that was years ago. When I come to church and actually get something, I go home and almost cry. Because I stopped coming to church for what I get out of it a long time ago. I come to church now for what I bring to it. I recognize that if I'm not here, somebody is not going to be ministered to the way I would minister to them. And it's a change of approach that mature people make. I was telling Don last week. Don sent me a text message right before church. You know, Don usually he doesn't send me text messages right before, but right before church, he sent me a text message. And it, all the text message said was, "Need to sleep." And I said, I started laughing. When I read it, I started laughing. And I told him this morning, I said, I was laughing because I had told Carol last Sunday morning, "Can I just stay home and sleep?" "No, you the pastor. You got to be there." We all would like to have the convenience of saying, "I don't want to go. I got other stuff to do." Here's the thing. Y'all don't think I got other stuff I want to do? I got other stuff I want to do. Guess what? Normally, when anybody in this church calls me, guess what I'm doing? Other stuff that I want to do. But you learn. I am a member of the body. My job is to build up the body, to serve the other members of the body. If a member of the body is hurting, I'm hurting with them. If a member of the body is rejoicing, I'm rejoicing with them. Are you hearing me? But you must first discern the body. You must first know who really is a part of this thing we call the body of Christ. Somebody give God a hand praise. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that your word comes to reprove us, it comes to correct us, it comes to mold us and shape us into the image of your dear Son, Jesus. So, Father, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful that your word has come to us today and challenged us to discern your body properly, to know who really is on the Lord's side. So, God, I thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, that your word comes to strengthen and mold us. I pray, God, for each and every household represented here, and even those, Lord, that are traveling and off doing different things. We pray for them that you would give them safe travel. Bring them home safely. In the name of Jesus. While your heads are